Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more. On the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Hello and welcome to Simply Scottish. I'm Andrew McDermott, your host. On this episode, we continue our series on sport in Scotland with a look at the history and development of golf. You can access other episodes of Simply Scottish on our website, www.simplyscottish.com. Between episodes, get Scottish news, trivia, show updates, and a chance every month to win our music giveaway. Be part of the conversation at facebook.com/simplyscottish or by following us on Twitter with the handle @simplyscottish. Starting off with music, here's a song from Sketch. Serving up a helping of traditional music for the 21st century, this is the title track from their 2012 album, Shed Life.
What is, in this school now, the state of Gaelic? You're teaching Gaelic to the seniors,
aren't you? Yes, there are two of the teachers who teach Gaelic. It's an uphill struggle, I'm afraid, because there are only about, I would say, 4 native Gaelic speakers. Language, you have to learn something about it, but for the others, it's like learning a foreign language every day.
Thank you.
You're listening to Simply Scottish. It would be impossible to say where the first stick and ball game originated. Who knows where or when someone first picked up a stick and amused him or herself by trying to knock a stone into a nearby hole. The ancient origins of the game of golf are widely debated. Perhaps it came from the Roman game of Paganica, or the Chinese equivalent, Chuiwan. Perhaps it grew out of England's Cambuca, or France's Chambeau. Wherever it came from, there's no question that Scotland became the perfect place for the sport to develop. The country boasts a temperate climate, plenty of wide open spaces, and the ideal natural terrain for golf courses. The game known as golf was played in Scotland as far back as the Middle Ages. Traditionally played as a short game in public places and churchyards, it was quickly deemed a nuisance by church and government officials. One can imagine the danger involved with hitting small balls in public places. In 1457, the earliest written evidence of the game is actually an act of Parliament banning it, along with football. Instead, males over 12 were advised to stick to archery, a skill that was considered more useful for military purposes. The church supported the sanctions on these sports, as it was sometimes reported that parishioners would forgo church service in favour of a game. One such report, dating from 1604, details the discovery of six young boys playing at the golf in the North Inch during their church sermon. The ringleader was fined, and the guilty group was ordered to appear at the place of public repentance in presence of the whole congregation. Even as royalty continued to publicly ban golf, kings and noblemen privately enjoyed it, and their patronage of the sport gave it momentum. The short game eventually died out, replaced by a longer game that took place in open spaces outside town centres. Early rounds or courses were developed, mostly on Scotland's east coast. Early golf balls were pieces of leather stitched together and stuffed with goose feathers. Games of golf became social occasions, with groups of men gathering together for a game and a meal and a drink. Over time, these groups formalised, and in 1744, the world's first golf club was formed, the Company of Gentlemen Golfers. The group produced the earliest known written rules and established an annual golf competition on Leith Links, with a silver club prize sponsored by the City of Edinburgh. A decade later, the Society of Golfers was formed at St Andrews, which today is the Royal and Ancient Golf Club of St Andrews, the governing body for golf worldwide. The modern era of golf had begun. Music now from the Battlefield Band. This is Glencalla Castle. Thank you. Between 1750 and 1850, the game of golf matured with the establishment of a number of prominent golf clubs. And as the number of players and organized groups increased, the technology and landscape of the game improved. In 1764, the links at St. Andrews was reduced from 22 holes to 18, which eventually became the accepted standard. In 1848, the Reverend Robert Patterson developed the first gutta-percha golf ball, more durable and affordable than its predecessors. A few years later, a railway was opened at St. Andrews, allowing more and more players to make their way to the old course. The Royal and Ancient built their now famous clubhouse as a result of this surge. In 1851, Tom Morris Sr. was hired as greenskeeper at the newly formed links at Prestwick. Old Tom Morris designed and built the original 12-hole course and was instrumental in establishing the Open Golf Championship there in 1860, the oldest of golf's four major championships. Morris would go on to compete in every Open until 1896, winning the tournament four times. He held the record for largest margin of victory in a major championship until Tiger Woods won the US Open by 15 strokes in 2000. Morris's son, Tom Morris Jr., was also an accomplished golfer, winning four consecutive Open titles by age 21, making him the youngest winner in Open history. Tragedy struck the Morris family when young Tom Morris's wife and newborn baby both died during a difficult labour. Young Tom Morris died 4 months later, only 24 years old. Dorothy Campbell, born in Edinburgh into a family of golfers in 1883, became the first internationally dominant female golfer. In 1905, she won her first Scottish ladies' title at the North Berwick Links. After two more Scottish titles, she moved to Canada and then to the US in 1913. She was the first woman to win the American, British, and Canadian women's amateurs. After marrying and having a child, Campbell took a break from the game, but returned to it in 1923, working hard to update her playing style to keep up with changes in the game. In 1926, she broke the record for fewest putts in 18 holes, previously set at 21 by Walter J. Travis. At the Augusta Country Club in Georgia, she arrived outside the edge of the 18th hole with 19 putts. She pulled out her trusty putter, nicknamed Thomas, and holed out. Campbell continued to play throughout the 1930s, winning the 1938 U.S. Senior Women's Championship at age 55. She was inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame in 1978. Another Scot who gained international fame as a golfer is Willie Anderson. Also reared on the links at North Berwick, Anderson immigrated to the U.S. in 1896. He became the first golfer to win four U.S. Opens, with titles in 1901, 03, 04 and 05. He's also the only player to win three consecutive titles, and only Bobby Jones, Ben Hogan and Jack Nicklaus have also won four US championships. Anderson had a flat, full-sweeping swing, known as the St. Andrews swing. He was a modest man, never boastful, letting his game speak for itself. This understated approach caused US Open champion Fred McLeod to remark that you couldn't tell whether he was winning or losing by looking at him. Obviously, his record spoke for itself, and Anderson is considered today one of the best players to have graced the game. He died in 1910, 5 years after winning his fourth US Open. He was only 31 years old. One of the most successful Scottish golfers today is Colin Montgomery. Born in Glasgow in 1963, he was raised in Yorkshire, England, where his dad was managing director of Fox's Biscuits. After attending college at Houston Baptist University, he won three amateur tournaments in Scotland and joined the professional circuit in 1988, being named Rookie of the Year on the European Tour. He holds a record 8 European Tour Order of Merit titles and has won 31 European Tour events, the most of any British player. In 1994, he entered the top 10 in the official World Golf Rankings, peaking at number 2. Although he's never won a major Open Championship, he has come close on several occasions. At the 1994 US Open, Montgomery lost in a three-man playoff. At the British Open at St Andrews in 2005, he finished second to Tiger Woods, who beat him by 5 shots. In 2010, he led the European team to victory in the Ryder Cup, a moment he considers a career high. Today, Montgomery has a golfing academy at Turnberry and divides his time as a professional player and a golf course designer. Coming up, a look at some of the top golf courses in Scotland. First, more music.
Traveling to the North Country fair, where the winds hit heavy in the borderline. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love. If you go when the snowflakes storm, when the rivers freeze and summer ends, see for me if she's wearing a coat so warm to keep her from the howling. See for me if her hair hangs long, rolls and flows all down her breast. See for me if her hair hangs long, that's the way I remember her. Many times I've often prayed in the darkness of my night, in the brightness of my day. If you're traveling to the North Country fair, when the winds hit heavy in the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. She once was a true love of mine. Once was a true love.
You're listening to Simply Scottish. On this episode, we're discussing the history and development of golf in Scotland. Today, there are over 550 golf courses in Scotland. Indeed, the country boasts more courses per head of population than any other country. Some courses stand out and draw attention as host venues for the Open Championship. There's the Old Course at St Andrews, home of the game's governing body, where the game has been played since the 15th century. The St Andrews Links actually comprises 6 18-hole courses, making it the largest public golf complex in Europe. There's Carnoustie Golf Links, a championship course designed by old Tom Morris and opened in 1842. It's nicknamed Carnasty by some, who consider it to be the most difficult course in the open rotation, and one of the toughest in the world. In fact, the phrase Carnoustie effect is defined as that degree of mental and psychic shock experienced on collision with reality by those whose expectations are founded on false assumptions. Then there are the courses at Glen Eagles, a host venue for the 2014 Ryder Cup. Established by Donald Matheson of the Caledonian Railway Company in 1910, the courses here boast dramatic landscape and isolated holes that give players a sense of tranquility and privacy. Muirfield is located in Gullen and overlooks the Firth of Forth. It's home to the Honourable Company of Edinburgh Golfers, the oldest golf club in the world. Finally, the Royal Troon Golf Club in Troon, South Ayrshire, was founded in 1878. It's home to both the longest and shortest holes in Open Championship golf. It's also one of a handful of historic clubs in Scotland who maintain a men-only membership. While this stance has come under fire in recent years, single-sex clubs remain a part of the game today. Countless other courses in Scotland offer an affordable and enjoyable challenge for amateur and professional golfers alike. For more information on Scotland's courses, including an interactive map, go to golf.visitscotland.com. That's www.golf.visitscotland.com. That's all for this episode of Simply Scottish. Listen to other episodes online at www.simplyscottish.com. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter to get show updates, Scottish trivia, and a chance every month to win a free CD of Scottish music. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/simplyscottish, and our Twitter handle is @simplyscottish. We'll close with Where It Snows by Scottish band Olympic Swimmers. I'm Andrew McDermott. Join me again soon for more of all things Scottish on Simply Scottish.
There's dark works on your favourite wall where you would show. It showed to me as close we had to affection.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content, copyright 2013, Simply Scottish Media. All music is used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience at simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.